Israel is coming back to Africa, and Africa is coming back to Israel.
In 1958, 10 years after Israel's founding, Golda Meir, who was then Israel's foreign minister, embarked on a historic trip to Africa, which helped lay the groundwork for ties between Israel and many newly formed African countries. When many African countries, including Rwanda, established independence in the early 1960s, Israel, which was a young country at the time, viewed these countries as partners and was eager to share its experiences in development and capacity building. 6 decades later, Israeli ties with the African continent are stronger than ever. On April 1st, Israel inaugurated a new Israeli embassy in Kigali, Rwanda, bringing the total number of Israeli embassies in sub-Saharan Africa to 11. The inauguration of the embassy marks the first time that Israel will maintain a resident ambassador in Kigali, Rwanda's capital. We sat down with Ron Adam, Israel's newest ambassador to Rwanda, who began his ambassadorship in early April, to discuss this historic milestone and the potential for Israel-Rwanda relations. This is Persona Grata, the official podcast of the Israel Ministry of Foreign Affairs. I'm your host, Tamar Schwartzbard. While the inauguration of the embassy is an important milestone for Israel-Rwanda relations, the relationship between both countries began in 1962, when Israel and Rwanda established official diplomatic ties, shortly after Rwanda became independent. Relations were severed between the two countries in 1973, following the Yom Kippur War, and Israel and Rwanda re-established diplomatic ties in 1994. Since then, Israeli-Rwandan ties have grown exponentially. In recent years, there has been an increase in high-level state visits between the two countries. In 2016, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visited Rwanda. And in 2017, Rwandan President Paul Kagame visited Israel.
Just to make sure that everyone understands, the relations did not start this year, this month. We have relations that are lasting for the, I would say, at least 10 years, 15 years, even more. And it's multifaceted, the relations, and I'm not inventing anything from scratch.
That's Ambassador Ron Adam, Israel's newest ambassador to Rwanda, who began his ambassadorship earlier this month. Ambassador Adam is a veteran diplomat who's been at the Israel Ministry of Foreign Affairs for almost 3 decades.
My first post was in Germany, and then I was somehow driven into the UN sphere. Mm-hmm. I spent 15 years doing the UN issues. I was 4 years in New York as an advisor at the mission to the UN. Then I was the director of the UN division. And then I end up in Geneva. I was 4 years in Geneva doing development of developing countries, doing all the specialized agencies at the UN, which is very interesting. And now I asked for this new thing, which is Rwanda.
As Israel's ambassador to Rwanda, what do you think are some of the areas in which Israel and Rwanda can deepen cooperation?
I have my priorities. One of them is smart agriculture. The other one is the whole basket of ICT and cybersecurity. And the third one is tourism. Smart agriculture is because it is an agriculture country after all, although it's a unique country, it's very developed. But it is still rely on agriculture.
According to the UN Food and Agriculture Organization, agriculture is the main economic activity in Rwanda, with 72% of the working population employed in agriculture. Agriculture accounts for 33% of Rwanda's GDP.
What they need is smart agriculture, is how to use less water, how to have more fruits of the trees, etc., etc. Good management of water, all which has to do with smart agriculture.
As a country which is 60% desert, Israel has developed agrotechnologies and methods to tackle water shortages and other agricultural challenges. On April 1st, Ambassador Adam inaugurated the Rwanda-Israel Horticulture Center of Excellence in Kigali. the Center of Excellence, which is a joint project of MSHAV and the Rwandan Ministry of Agriculture and Animal Resources, will train local farmers in Israeli agro-technologies and methods. The center is the first of its kind in Africa. Since 1994, more than 500 Rwandans have participated in MSHAV agricultural courses.
Just to mention about agriculture, one thing is that this year we have in Israel 140 students who finished BA in agriculture or in veterinaria, and they are here to study the work. And they work 4 days in kibbutzim, and 1 day they study in the university.
These are Rwandan students?
Yes, 140 wow. Rwandan students, and next wow. year we will have 150. And then I mentioned ICT, cybersecurity, Internet of Things, and in that I include also innovation, startups, the whole ecosystem of innovation, mm-hmm. which interests them a lot, and they are really one of the leaders of innovation in Africa. But still they are interested to know how we do it. And the tourism, which is the third issue which I mentioned, is there because we are going to start a direct flight soon, and we have to fill the flights.
What are some of the things that you think Israeli tourists are looking forward to seeing in Rwanda or experiencing in Rwanda?
There are Rwandese tourists in Israel for religious purposes. It's much more difficult to come through Addis usually, and when we will have direct flights, if we have one or three flights a week, it will for sure increase the number of Rwandese here in Israel, and there are already, but mm-hmm. there are no Israelis going to Rwanda unless they do business or have other issues, and this is a challenge. There is the biggest and most important gorilla reservation in the world in Rwanda. The visit there is very expensive. The entrance for 1 day is $1,500.
Oh, wow.
Or $1,200, depends on the season. So it's very expensive. So I'm not sure how many Israelis will pay. But otherwise, they have a nice lake like Kinneret, but more like Geneva Lakes or whatever lakes in Switzerland. They have two safaris. They have other attractions. There are nice hotels, wonderful hotels, also outside Kigali. We need to bring Israelis there, and I will bring some travel agents to Rwanda to look for ways how to plan 1 week. It can include Uganda or some other country in the region, but this is the idea. And the Israelis, you know, they look for new attractions, so I hope it will be one of them.
It seems like there are a lot of areas in which Israel and Rwanda can collaborate together. What would you say are some of the similarities between the two countries?
So, of course, we build on similarities. First of all, it's a small country in space. We have more or less the same area. They have 25,000 square kilometers, and we have 21,000, so it's more or less the same. And they have 12 million people population. Mm-hmm. We have 8 million, and plus they are landlocked, and we are also a kind of an island. They have their neighbors, which sometimes are not so friendly with them. With us, yes, but not with them sometimes. And we have our own neighbors, which I don't have to elaborate. So we are kind of an island. But more than that is the history. Mm-hmm. We both peoples, we built our nation on the ashes of a genocide. It's completely different, and I'm aware of that. Our genocide was in Europe. It was not in our land. Their genocide was in their land. And your neighbor might have killed your mother or raped her or killed your brother, and it's very, very difficult situation.
Rwanda and Israel have both grappled with terrible tragedies and rebuilding in the aftermath of these tragedies. Israel was established only a few short years after the Holocaust, in which 6 million Jews across Europe were murdered. In July of 1994, more than 800,000 Rwandans were murdered in a genocide which took place in Rwanda. April 7th marks the UN-designated day to commemorate the Rwandan genocide.
But they came out of that horrific events And they built on their own human capacities and human resources. It's difficult to explain, but they are really achieving a wonderful country.
Israel and countries around the world marked International Holocaust Remembrance Day earlier this year on January 27th. Ambassador Adam has a special connection to this day. He led the campaign at the UN to establish January 27th as International Holocaust Remembrance Day.
I was the director of the UN division.
Okay.
In this period, I tried to connect Israel to the UN. It was my first decision as the director of the UN because I served in New York, and I realized that in New York there is no exhibition about the Holocaust. So I decided we need also the Jewish narrative, without any comparison, but the Jewish narrative must be at the UN. And the Jewish narrative, one of the narratives, the important ones, is the Holocaust. So what I seeked was a permanent exhibition about the Holocaust at the UN. Since we initiated the resolution, I decided it's a good opportunity not only to establish a unit at the UN which will establish a permanent exhibition, but also to decide on an annual day. The UN had many annual days, and now, since then, it had one more, which is the Holocaust Remembrance Day, and this became a huge issue around the world. Many, many countries, they implement the resolution.
Wow.
And it was a big success. And of course, I did it for the Israeli people to show that, yes, here the UN does something for Israel, but also for my mother and other Holocaust survivors, which was very important for them.
Commemoration is a very important part of each country's identity. I know that the Holocaust Museum in Israel, Yad Vashem, has worked with the museum in Rwanda to discuss ways to commemorate. Do you know anything about what that relationship looks like?
Yes, my first place that I visited officially after I submitted my credentials with the president was to go to the genocide memorial. And I visited and saw how the genocide was not a matter of a spontaneous people or spontaneous move or movement, whatever, it was planned. And of course it resembles also the anti-Semitism in Europe and the years before 39 and in Germany and elsewhere. Even before 33,
the propaganda.
Propaganda, and they expelled the Jews in Europe and the tribe here in Rwanda from going to schools, going to universities, being doctors, being free professions. And this began, they didn't let them develop. So your question has to have to do with commemoration. And of course, there is a big cooperation between Yad Vashem and the museum, and also learning about genocide, learning about other people's genocide. They have in the Genocide Museum Memorial also part a room about the Holocaust and about other genocides. And there is a cooperation on the studying how to prevent genocide, what to do in order to build a new society. And they built a new society.
You just referred to Rwanda's success in building a thriving and vibrant country. Your first time in Rwanda was earlier this year. What are some of the initial impressions you had of the country?
Yes, my first time in Africa. It's so clean and so organized and so neat and nice hotels and nice restaurants that I felt very good. Kigali is the most clean city I have ever seen in my life.
Wow.
And I was in Geneva. And there is no city in Israel that is so clean. They have Omuganda. It's a day once in a month, in the last first Saturday, that they go out from their homes, including the president and his wife, and clean the streets for 4 hours.
Wow.
First of all, Omuganda, it means together in the community, which is very important to put the community together, the population together, and work together side by side. They also go to school. They give some community work in this day, 4 hours. There is no work in this day, just from 1 o'clock onwards.
What other values do you think we can learn from the Rwandan people?
We need to be advanced, and they need to teach us.
Really?
Yes. Half of the parliament are women. in
wow.
Uganda.
Wow, half.
Half. And half of the government ministers are women.
Wow.
So I think we should learn from them.
4 years from now, where do you see Israel-Rwandan relations?
Well, I would gladly say that in a completely different place. But I told you in the beginning that I'm not starting from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
There was so many interaction between the countries until now. It's true that it's the first resident ambassador to Rwanda, but there were things before. I would like to see huge projects coming into reality in 3 years or 4 years. And they already started. There are some specific projects which I have in mind, but I will not give some more details about that. I assume that we will be in a very good place. I came there, I was there a bit more than 48 hours. I felt very wanted, very welcome. I felt love to Israel, and it is extremely comfortable feeling for an Israeli.
Wow. Thank you so much for joining us today. We wish you a lot of luck.
Thank you so much for having me.
You can keep up with Ambassador Adam's work to strengthen Israel-Rwanda ties by following him on Twitter at @AMBRonAdam. We'll include a link in the bio of this episode. Once again, as we continue to explore and share the stories of Israeli diplomats around the world, please feel free to submit your own ideas, suggestions, and requests for topics that you think we should cover. Send us an email at personagrata@israel.org. Thanks again for listening to this episode of Persona Grata, and a big thank you to Rivka Wapner for her help in editing this episode.